Well, last week we talked about being blessed people. I told you about a comment that I got on Facebook about you're a blessed man, and I started to just meditate on that, contemplate that, and why that was. And the bottom line, why we're blessed is because of God. I mean, that is the bottom line. It's nothing about me or my character or how good or you know, he's a good father. He's a good God. He's almighty. And so if we place our trust and our hope, everything that we are in him, then we're blessed. And the cool thing is, and we're going to talk about this in a message a little bit later on, but we're blessed no matter what. Okay? Sometimes we put degrees on the blessings, and it's like, okay, look at my bank account. Okay, I'm blessed. Kind of think about, you know, take a mental picture of my, okay, I'm feeling pretty good today, so healthy, so I'm blessed. But the believers in the early church, weren't they blessed? Amen? But a lot of them were imprisoned. A lot of them were killed. Amen? But they were blessed. So we need to be careful sometimes how we throw around blessings or say, well, you know, they must not be blessed. They must not be living right because they're going through a hard time. You know, sometimes hard times help us to appreciate even more than we get even in closer contact with God. And so we need to be careful. But today, I just want to talk to you about how do we say thank you? How do you say thank you? I mean, if somebody just blesses you. I mean, it's just completely like out in left field. All of a sudden, boom, somebody shows up and like they drive a brand new Jeep Wrangler into your driveway and say, you know what, Pastor, I just want to give you this new Jeep. It's like, do I take their shoes off and kiss their feet? Do I mow their yard for like 5 years? You know, I remember watching a Gilligan's Island episode one time, and Gilligan had saved like a tribesman or something, and then through the whole show, it was like this person was just there because they through their tribe and everything, if they were saved by somebody, then they were indebted to them forever, and they had to follow them around and stuff. And so, you know, then the professor and Mary Ann helped Gilligan figure out that, okay, then do the same to him, you know, try to save him, and then, you know, he'll leave you alone and stuff. And so, but how do we say thank you to a good, good God? How do we say thank you to God on a beautiful day like this and being able to worship together and listen to wonderful music and just sing to the Lord? And how do we say thank you about just, we're right here today? Or I got to see my kids yesterday and my daughter, I told her yesterday, she put on this like sundress thing or whatever, you know, and I looked at her and was kind of laughing, and she said, what? And I'm like, Katie, you are pregnant. Because it's like, you're out there, you know. So how do we do that? And I read scripture this morning, Psalm 105, and just talking about singing praises to God and lifting his name and declaring to other generations the great works of God and who he is and the awesomeness of God. And so I just want to share with you just a few things today that might just help us a little bit to just think about how great God really is and how can we really thank God? What is it that we can do to really do that? And the first thing that I thought about, and I appreciate those that take care of communion and everything, because we'd already planned on doing communion next week and already had another sermon, but I just really felt directed to kind of create this one this week. And so thank you stepping up and having it ready for this week. But the first way is through remembrance. How can we thank God for all that He's done? And that is to remember. I mean, 1 Corinthians 11 and 24 says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so we're going to take communion here pretty soon, but we're remembering His sacrifice, His provision, that there was no way out of my sinful nature, that there was no hope for me outside of Him, that there is no other answer. Jesus is the truth, He's the life, He's the way, and the only way to the Father, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And so we need to remember who He is. Listen to what it says in Psalm 106, 19 through 22. "They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an oxen that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea." You know, sometimes we go through life and we go through situations, and sometimes life just gets crazy, and we just have a lot to do. I just had a lot to do Friday. I mean, you know, we wanted to leave town, and we needed to get to the eye appointment and get our glasses and stuff, and we needed to get over to our hometown, and we had all this stuff. And so I had, it was just like, almost a blur that morning. Got to go to the library and got to help this family, and I got to get this check signed, and I got to do this. And if we're not careful, it's like a whirlwind, and we get overwhelmed, and then we stop remembering. And sometimes life can do that, and we can go through stretches of where we are not acknowledging, man, God, You are super cool. You are just totally beyond anything that I could even think of. I mean, think about it. Better is one day in His courts than thousands elsewhere. So think of 1,000 places you could be. And so as I sat there, I thought, it'd be kind of cool today to be at the Cub game. They're on a roll. 8-2. I don't know. Have I ever seen that in my lifetime? Probably, but that was when I was real little. And so, but better is one day in the house of the Lord than at Wrigley with that hot dog, because ballpark hot dogs, I don't know what they do to them, but they're better than I can make them. Or being with my wife in some remote French village, with this loaf of bread and a bottle of vino or whatever. And, better is one day than thousands elsewhere. But how crazy it is that Scripture says that, okay, they started worshiping the image of an oxen that eats grass. And so yesterday I'm walking around my hometown, and so me and Gunner, I took him, he gets kind of tired of the paths I take him on around here, so I was like, okay, dude, we almost walked the whole town of Abingdon, which it's similar, like Dwight, it's really not that hard. But I went to my old neighborhood where I kind of spent a lot of time with a great aunt who raised me for a lot of times, when my parents were busy and stuff, and then my grandparents live right behind there, and I look over, and then there's this field, and there's an old abandoned factory, the pottery. I used to work there. Nobody works there. It's all run down, windows busted out, and then there's all these kind of different things in this guy's side yard, but this field just had dandelions, and I know people hate dandelions, but they're pretty, yellow, and then all that blue flower stuff that comes up naturally. And I remembered what it said, that there's nothing more beautiful than the fields that, you know, that God has made than the prettiest adorned person that there could be. And just how awesome. And we need to remember. We need to remember how great God is and how awesome He's been in our lives and just how great it is to be a part of Him and Him to be a part of us and acknowledge those things. Okay, we have some bad stuff go on in our lives and we have those things in those pockets, but try to take and remember all those great things that God has done in our lives. Think about all the times that He spoke into us, that He even saved us, that we're born again. I've been working on some future sermons, and so I was looking at born again, and just being born again. We have to be born again, refreshed, anew. You know, and the doctor said, here, put on your old glasses. Had my exam, and he'd already done the machine. It said, okay, is A better than B? Is D better than C? You know what I'm talking about. And so then he pulled them away and he said, put on your old glasses. So I put them on and he said, what line can you read? So then I read that line and then he put the machine back and he said, now what can you read? And it's like, Shazam. And I was like, man, my eyes are really getting bad, you know? But I was even sitting there, I was singing. And I was thinking about the Lord, but I thought, I cannot wait to go to a movie theater with these glasses and see a movie. Sorry, I was thinking that. But how awesome is it that we're born again and I mean everything, it's crystal clear that there is a God. And He's over it, and He's in control of it. And now our earth is rotating, praise God, back toward the sun. It's warming up. And even walking Gunner last night, it was still in the high 50s, low 60s. I was like, oh, nice, you know. And it's, you know, I'm not all bundled up and just like, hurry up, man, you know. And so we need to remember. How can we say thank you? We're going to do that a little bit today. We're going to take communion, but we're going to remember. We're going to remember and let it get in here and say, wow. More than just a custom, but He was broken. He was broken for you. He was bruised for you. Despised for you. Rejected for you. I mean, Mel Gibson, you know, The Passion of Christ, tried to, through Hollywood standards, of really trying to put it into some kind of visual form. But he was unrecognizable. He was so battered, so torn, so much flesh taken from him. We need to remember His awesomeness, His provision, His sacrifice. How can we thank Him? By remembering Him. Not just skipping along and going through life. And when God does something, just if you're in Walmart, woo! Praise God! You know? Just remember Him. Or am I the only one that does that? You know? Like if I'm out someplace and I see something out, I was like, woo! You know, and I've done that a few times out here in the parking lot. And I don't know if the city workers think I'm a little bit off tilt, but secondly, what can I really do? How can I thank God? You know, it's a hard enough time when somebody comes and have you ever gotten a Pentecostal handshake? How many of you know what a Pentecostal handshake is? Anybody? I love giving Pentecostal handshakes. You put, I don't know, 20, a 50, I don't know, whatever, a bill in your hand. Sorry, I don't have anything on me. But you come up to somebody and as you shake hands with them, you're sliding that money into their hand and they'll just look down at it and like, what's this about? You know? So that's kind of, yeah. I'll give you a Pentecostal high five. How about that? Yeah. But it has before. But how do you say thank you to somebody? I mean, even an earthly form. But when we think about God giving everything to us, how can we even begin? And I think, first of all, we have to remember that there's really no way. I mean, we need to remember Him and remember all those things. But secondly, we need to live for Him. Galatians 2 and 20. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We need to remember Him, but not only remember Him, but we need to live for Him. We need to wake up today, and you've woke up today, and we're living for Him. He's not a byproduct of what I'm doing in my life, and He is my life. I mean, that's the way that it's supposed to be. And sometimes we get into a mode of where we separate that a little bit. We kind of compartmentalize, you know. Okay, I'm at work, and so this is the degree of Christianity I'll be at work. Okay, I'm out on the golf course. This is the degree. Oh, I'm in church, and so. But it should. I'm living for Him. And so if I'm at a ball game, if I'm here, if I'm mowing, whatever I'm doing, I need to just be living for Him wholeheartedly. How many of you have seen the movie Saving Private Ryan? Okay, so when I was thinking about this part of doing this, I thought about James Ryan when he was older and he was at the gravesite of Captain Miller. Remember that? And but anyway, Private Ryan, for any of you that didn't see it, just real quick, there was a platoon that went in search of Private Ryan because all of his siblings, his brothers, had been killed in the war, and they were trying to get to him, find him, in order so that they could get him home so that his family lineage would be able to continue to go on. And so they come into this town there, and they're battling the Germans and everything. They do find him. It's a good movie if you want to watch it. It's got some language and stuff, but, you know, and killing and everything, but really a good theme of a movie. So Captain Miller, during this battle and so this fight in this town, is fatally wounded. But they went in search of him. In fact, most of his men were killed trying to find this soldier. And so as he's dying, this is what he says to him. James, earn this. Earn it. We fast forward. He's an old man now. And so just going to kind of read this to you, if I may. So he goes to Miller's gravesite. And this is old James. My family is with me today. They wanted to come with me. To be honest with you, I wasn't sure how I would feel coming back here. Every day I think about what you said to me on that bridge. I tried to live my life the best that I could. I hope that it was enough. I hope that, at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me. His wife comes up. James? Captain John H. Miller. That's what his wife says. James says, tell me, have I led a good life? She says, what? Tell me I'm a good man. You are. She begins to walk away. As she walks away, he stands to his feet and salutes Miller. I think in myself, I think that's what I'm always asking my parents, maybe silently, or Bonnie, my kids. Am I a good man? I mean, am I earning what Jesus did? I mean, oh, there's times of when I definitely am upset with myself because I know I haven't lived up to it. I'm slacking off. But I think the best way that we can thank God is, yes, remembering Him, but when we get up every day to live for Him. And I'm not talking about earning. We can't earn salvation. We're saved by grace. It's not by works. So I'm not talking about that. Understand what I'm saying. I understand the whole grace and the amazing grace that it is. But yet we have a responsibility in our lives, not just to slough it off. We have a responsibility that where grace abound, to sin more abound. Do I just go out and do my thing and come back and confess it to God and He's going to forgive me and it's all going to be okay? Or does something inside of me begin to yearn and to churn to a point of saying, I want this. I want this and I want to live this. And yes, in a sense, God, I want to bring honor and glory to Your name. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it says this. So we continue praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete understanding of what He wants for you to do in your lives. And we ask Him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom. Then the way that you live will always honor and please the Lord. And you will continually do good, kind things for others. All the while, you will learn to know God better and better. And so these men of God were speaking back into a community and saying, we see you. And we want you to know we're praying that wisdom, spiritual wisdom, will come to your lives so that you're able to do good things for other people, so that you're able to be the people that you need to gain that understanding, and then the way that you live will always honor and bless God. And so we need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, and praying, Kevin, man, just praying, saying, God, just bless him. Bless him as a man. Bless him in his life. Just lead and guide his every step, whenever he's at work, whatever he's doing. We need to be praying for one another. Praying that we would succeed, that we would overcome. Praying that we would get that wisdom in us and that maybe we're at that crossroad and all of a sudden we make the decision through the Holy Spirit and we go in the direction that God wants. And we're beginning to live that life and because honestly it's not my life. Now I mean, I have said to Bonnie, I am 51 years old. I'm 51 years old. I've said that, right? Yeah, I've said that to her, you know. And I'm 51 and I'm going to do what I want, you know. And if I can't, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. But when it really comes down to it, our life is not our own. Yes, we make decisions, we make choices, where you work, what you do, and what you did yesterday. I mean, we made a choice. So we tried to work it so we could do everything, leave Friday afternoon, get to Abingdon, stayed with my parents. So the next day, yesterday, we could. So we make, and, you know, you made a choice today, what you were going to wear, all those kinds of things. And those are fine. But what I'm getting down to is there somebody gave their life for you to be here, to be blessed, to bless God. And we need to salute Him every day. Every day. Every day we need to come to the cross and say, God, am I being a good man? What did David say? What did he say in the psalm? Search me, try me, see if there be any way in me. Look at me inside and out. Is there something that's keeping me from being closer to you? And if there is, remove it from my life. Do an examination. We need to let Him examine us. That's what these altars symbolically are for. Your altar can be anywhere in your house. It could be at the workplace, at your workbench. But when you lay your heart down before God and you're seeking God, you're at that altar and you're saying, God, here I am. Look at me. See what's going on in me. And if it's not right, we need to adjust it. If it is, then we need to keep going in Him and polishing that, so to speak, and saying, God, help me to be better at this. And so if I'm good at giving, say, Pentecostal handshakes, and have a giving heart, then help me to be able to give to other people. And so keep pouring into me. And let me find different ways. If we want to be a church that blesses our community, then show us the different ways you want us to do that. But yes, remember Him, but live for Him. Let it mean something. In a sense, yes, earn it. And when we lay it down, that you know what? I love One Republic. Anybody listen to One Republic? Yeah, I like it. But they got a song, I Lived, and there's a comment in there. It says, with every broken bone, I lived. I love that. Just laying it out there on the line completely, not holding anything back from God. You want to thank God? How do you thank God? Man, let your life just reflect Him. Let your life, no longer do I live, that's what it's saying there, but Christ lives in me. Then do it. Be Christ-like. Bless people, love people. Go beyond, worship Him, lift your hands, exalt Him. Be in His presence. Let it be you. Let Him be a part of you and everything that you do. Let it consume you. Get freaked out with it. I mean, if you want it to be a religious statement and you want to punch your Christian time clock, then just keep doing that. But when it comes to the end, when it comes to the end of our lives, I mean, He laid it all on the line. Every bit of it for me. For my junk, for my sins. So let your life be a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking it too much of us. Somebody could have said amen right there. It don't get much better than that. But the third thing, we need to praise Him. We need to praise Him. We need to remember Him, but we need to just praise Him. Psalms 145:4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation is going to tell another generation. I mean, I went yesterday, my dad said, hey, Abingdon, playing a doubleheader down at the park, and my dad and mom only live a little bit away, so we walked down, watched a little bit of the ball game, and spent most of my life in that ballpark. Played a lot of games at that ballpark, and so you reminisce and think about all the championships and all the things and all the accolades of those things, but it was for sure that, see, I was standing, my dad was sitting, but I was leaning on this bench, and it was definite that I was just now an observer, not part of the game anymore. And so my dad, you know, we were talking about stories about yesteryears. Spiritually speaking, I'm not at that place. Don't know if I'll ever get to that place of where I'm just watching my kids or grandkids serve the Lord and watching them go on missions trips or do awesome things, lay hands on people, pray for them, see them healed, talk to somebody, see them get saved, you know. The real things we're supposed to be doing, right? But we are supposed to declare the great things of God. Those things that you're remembering aren't just for you to remember. They are for you to tell your kids and your kids' kids and your kids' 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 kids all the way down. I mean, ultimately, what is this? You're reading about what other people experienced. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I get sick of it. Yes, I want to read it and gain faith, but I want to live it. I want to experience it. I want to see it in my life. I want it to consume me. I want it to be part of just who I am. My DNA. I want God to do those things. And so we need to praise Him. So acknowledge. What does that mean? To admit to be real or true. To recognize the existence, to appreciate. That's acknowledgement. I want to acknowledge Him. I want to, not just that He's real, not that He exists, but I appreciate Him. I appreciate who He is. I appreciate a good play in a game. Dang! Oh my goodness! Woo! Did you see Stephon Curry make that shot? Dribbling behind his back, he puts it up half court. You know, right? Ask my wife. The other night, Addison Russell hits a 3-run home run, wins the game 5-3. Did I not? Did I call somebody? Called my son. Did you see that home run? I'm watching it right now. Replay it. Replay it. Replay it. So if I'm going to get on the phone with my son about a home run, I better get on the phone with somebody about what God is doing. I better start getting a little bit excited about what He's doing in my life and what He's doing in my church and what He's doing in my town and what He's doing in my world. If I can get excited, and I don't have any problem with that, but I'm just saying, you need to measure the level. Okay? If you're getting painted up and doing crazy stuff for a game, go have fun and do that. That's a cool thing. They don't even know who you are. You're all painted up. They can't recognize you. Then don't come here and then turn it down 5 notches and say, well, bless God, we're in God's house. What kind of excuse is that? You just acted like a stupid idiot out on a ball field. And you come into church and you sit on your hands. Are they cold? Sorry. It means something to me. Because I love you. And I love God. And I know that you're thankful. And I just want to help us a little bit. How can we say thanks? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Acknowledge Him. Appreciate Him. It's truth. Yes, this is it. You're honed in. You've got the answer. This is what our life's about. I mean, I walked around my hometown. I looked at houses that I'd not really looked at before, neighborhoods, and I thought, you know what? Who knows who's lived there over the years? It's been, you know, I've been 51 years on this earth, and I haven't been in Abingdon for like 30 years. But people are living there. They're raising their families. They're planting gardens. They're mowing their grass. And they're living. But do they know why they're alive? We are here to bless God. We are here to acknowledge God. I'm a living creation of You. I'm made out of dust, and one day I'm going back to it. I'm not on this earth forever, but while I'm here, we need to let the world know why we are here. Yes, make a living. Yes, mow your yard. Yes, you know, walk your dog. Yes, go to games. Go to movies. Do whatever you want to. But more importantly, let your life scream, I am God's, and God is mine. And I praise Him for that. I acknowledge Him. I remember Him. I live for Him. I want to praise Him. You would suck up so much to a guy if he handed you $1 million. You, even if you didn't like that guy, you'd be a suck up. And don't tell me you wouldn't. Oh man, they give you $1 million, you're like, oh, you know, oh man. And God has given us everything. God has given us everything. And I just need to be into Him. Wholeheartedly into Him. But it just seems, that's the cycle, and it's cool because no matter how much I bless Him, I want to bless Him more. No matter how much I've given, I want to give Him more. No matter how many times I've been to check, I want to go again. And I want to go again. And no matter how many times I talk to somebody about the Lord, I want to tell them again. But I'm fearful. I'm fearful that the church has grown tired of God. I'm fearful that we're looking for other avenues to get some kind of oomph about life when He is life. I'm going to ask Sharon if she would come back to the keyboard this morning. We're going to do communion just a little bit different. I'm just going to hold the tray right here. And just ask that each one come by. And as you do that, just want to bless you with communion this morning and appreciate you. And we're remembering Him. It's a form of thanking Him. How do you say thank you? Do this in remembrance of me. Do not forget me. I still smell my grandma sometimes. I don't know if you ever... I think about her. Thought about her the other day. I was writing this little chapter. I'm trying to do a little book thing. And thought about when we got saved. She got me my first Bible that said Justin Randall. It was imprinted there. She gave me my first taste of a sizzle burger. If you want the recipe, I'll share with you. Or the peanut butter, marshmallow, chocolate chip grilled sandwich. I don't want to forget them. My grandpa's, I went by their home place and wiffle ball out in the front yard. Just baseball on his lawnmower. He had a broken leg. And so I was the pitcher. He was the catcher. And so he always called timeout, you know. And he's always had me come out to the lawnmower, you know. And we had to talk a little bit, you know, how pitchers and catchers do. And he's always telling me, you know, they really don't talk about baseball. He's really saying, the catcher's saying, hey, do you see that girl in the third row? You know, kind of, and so my grandpa Randall, he lost his thumb in a saw. How cool is that? I mean, that'd be cool to not and just be able to say, I lost my thumb in a saw. I mean, I don't hope that on myself, you know. I don't want the pain. But I think about, he always wore those summer Mississippi, I don't know what you do, work coverall bib things, you know. And he's walking out to the shed one day, and a mouse was going up his leg. Wah! I mean, just a man. I mean, just kept walking, blood going up, you know. He just like slapping a fly away. A mouse crawls up my leg. Somebody's taking me to the hospital. I love them. I appreciate them. Their blood flows through my veins. But you know, I'm married 30 years and live in Illinois, and life goes and goes. And I like my daughter. She loves pictures. She'll pull out the old pictures and look at our pictures. Back patios and proms and different things. And when's the last time you looked at, like, just some pictures? When's the last? I'm talking about earthly remembering now, but we get to remember Jesus right now. Right now, we get to just think about His loveliness, His awesomeness. We get to commune with Him. Well, you get to commune. The Word says that He'll not take it again until we're with Him in glory. Marriage Supper of the Lamb, that's pretty cool. He's waiting. We're the bride of Christ. So this morning, if you want to just come through, get your emblems, and I'm not going to make you wait and just say, you know, everybody take the bread, everybody take the cup. But what I want you to do is, once you receive it, go back to your chairs or wherever, if you want to kind of walk around in the back, or you want to come to the altar and you just want to love on God and remember Him and just dedicate to living for Him some more. If you want to acknowledge Him and just praise Him. But whenever in your spirit it just kind of, it clicks and it says, I'm ready. I'm ready to partake of your body. I'm ready to partake of your blood. I'm ready to remember you and just acknowledge Him. Then we give you that freedom today. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Have a great day. Please, if you can, make your way back tonight at 6. It'll be a great service. It'll be a lot of fun. But you're appreciated. We love you. How do we thank? How do we say thank you? Remember Him, live for Him, praise Him, okay?